to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, the fact that he came to be born to die for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, and yet to rise again from the grave, and furthermore, to come again in glory and power. Today is a day, Christmas time, when can be a time for some, it can be a sad time. Others, it can be a bad time. Others, it can be a mad time, and I hope you're here today, and I hope it's a glad time for you. Certainly, it's a time to rejoice and thank God for his greatest gift of all. Now, all of you should have a candle in your hand, or at least have one close by. And I begin to think about this week what the Lord would have me to share concerning this Christmas day. And I would encourage you to light up your world. I would encourage you to let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you got a candle, would you hold it up in the air? I want to see your candle and hold on to that. In the end of the service, we're going to light our candles, demonstrating / illustrating that we are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. And God is light, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. And light comes into the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, the Gospel of John chapter 1. But yet, we are the light of the world. That reminded me of a story of a little boy that I heard was participating in a Christmas drama. And he was demonstrating, as others were, the birth of our Lord with the shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, the angels. And he was going to have his line to say his part in this particular Christmas program. And for the life of him, he forgot what he was supposed to say. All he was going to have to say was, I am the light of the world. That was it. That's what Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. But for the moment, he could not remember what he was going to say. He just went spellbound. I mean, he just couldn't figure out what he was going to say. He looked out in the audience, and he picked out his mother. His mother was standing there, and he was standing in silence, not remembering what he was supposed to say. And his mama was saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. All of a sudden, the little boy blurted out, Mama is the light of the world. You'll get it after you think about it a while. Mama is the light of the world. No, he missed it a little bit, but Jesus is the light of the world. I had the privilege of preaching a funeral here just a few weeks ago, actually back in November. And the man that his wife passed away, he told me, and I'll never forget him telling me, when he was baptized the privilege of being baptized, the pastor asked him, said, well, you want to share a testimony? He was a little boy at the time, probably 11, 10 years old. He said when he came up out of the water, all he could think about, and he looked at his mama, and I shared this at her homegoing service. He said, thank you, mama. That's all he could think of. Thank you, mama. Ye are the light of the world, said the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you today, the Lord's got a message on my heart, and I hope you got your Bibles, and I hope you're ready to search the Scripture. It's going to be a challenging, yet hopefully encouraging message that we are indeed a time at Christmas to love the Lord. I want to encourage you to love the Lord. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord. I want to encourage you to make a difference while you can. Light up your world. Will you do it? And you see, because time's running out, you don't need to be discouraged today. You don't need to be depressed today. And no need for you to back up or let up, but keep looking up, child of God. And that's what God has us here on a mission to serve him and love him. I'm reading from the book of Revelation, and John said this, I saw a river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielding her fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. There shall be no more curse there, for the Lord God and the Lamb are in it, and his servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be upon their forehead. There shall be no more night there. No need for a candle, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. I'm reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. The message today God placed on my heart is this: the Christ of Christmas is coming again. The Christ of Christmas is coming again. Even so come, Lord Jesus, at Christmas. You see, we're going to look at the first Christmas, but we're also going to look at the last Christmas. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. In the context of Revelation, and as you stand to your feet, I want to read those verses I just quoted a moment ago. As we think for a little while, the Christ of Christmas is coming again. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? This could be your last Christmas. It could be my last Christmas. In the context of Revelation 22, I want to remind you that John is seeing that heavenly vision, namely of the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And he's describing the city that lies four square. And he comes to this wonderful last chapter in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And this gives us something to look forward to. In Revelation 22, I begin reading in verse 1. If you're there, would you say amen? And he showed me a pure river of life. Imagine a pure river of life. Can you imagine? He showed me a pure river of life. Notice, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now don't confuse this river of life with the river of life that's described in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47. That river is going to be coming from the throne of God in Jerusalem. And it's also mentioned in the book of Zechariah chapter 14. This river of life, however, is a different river that's flowing literally from the throne of God and the Lamb. And many do, and I personally do, from the New Jerusalem. As John describes how beautiful heaven's going to be in Revelation 21 and 22. Keep reading in verse number 2. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. The tree of life. Say that with me. The tree of life. Say it again. The tree of life. One more time. The tree of life. Why, we've read that somewhere before. In fact, I think I can recall, and you can as well, over in the book of Genesis, this tree of life. But wait a minute, keep reading. In verse number 2, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. What is this tree of life doing there, which bear 12 manner of fruits? Can you imagine? I love mangoes. I don't know about you, but 12 manner of fruits, and yielding her fruit every month. Really? This tree of life? What in the world is going on? It's yielding 12 manner of fruits every month. And notice further in the last part of verse number 2, and the leaves of the tree. Notice tree, not trees, but tree, singular. The leaves of the tree were for what? The healing of nations. You might want to note the word healing there is the Greek word therapeuo, where we get our English derivative from that word, therapeutic. And literally the translation of that word healing can be a health giving or a health healing. And some translate that as in serving. Oh yes, and ministering. Nonetheless, here is the tree of life in the middle of the street of it. And you can see the river and the 12 manner of fruits. Notice verse number 3 as we continue in the text. Oh yes, the Christ of Christmas is coming again. The Christ of Christmas is coming again. Let your light so shine. Oh yes, time is running out. Our hour is late. Look at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. Why? But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. You might as well get used to serving God now, because that's what we're going to do throughout eternity. You might as well get used to loving the Lord and serving the Lord, because that's our ordained purpose, not only here on earth, but oh, bless God, in when we get to glory, that celestial city on high. Keep reading, verse number 4. And they, oh my soul, I love this verse. And they shall see His face. I don't know the last time you thought about seeing the face of God. Can you imagine? They shall see His face. Keep reading. Because not only will they see His face, that is, you and I who are born of the Spirit of God, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, passed from death into life, not religion but relationship, not outward profession but inward possession. Oh yes, we shall see the face of God, and His name, notice verse 4, His name shall be in their forehead. And then finally in verse 5, there shall be no more night there. Really? Darkness? Oh no, there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle. There's not going to be the need for a candle, not in that great celestial city on high. Oh no, there'll be no need for a night. Verse 5 again, then they need no candle, neither light of the sun. How can you explain that? John tells us, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. Father, I thank You for the wonderful word You've given us this morning. Oh, blessed Jesus, we worship You, we thank You, we love You because You loved us first. And we pray now for understanding and wisdom and illumination and opening our eyes, our hearts, our total being to yield to You. Oh, blessed God, we celebrate Your first birth. But Lord, we anticipate when You come in glory and power, and when our Lord, Your word will be fulfilled, and we'll enjoy Your presence and Your power forever and ever. Now, God, minister to our hearts today. Change us. Help us to be good salt and a bright light in a dark world. I thank You for those that are gathered. Lord, I know others are with family and traveling and so forth. But God, we pray now, as we have an audience with You, that You'll speak to our hearts. You'll change us. You'll, dear Lord, search us and cleanse us of all sin. And I pray that for myself. And I pray You'll help us to make a difference, however much time we've got left. And it's all about You. Save the lost in this place today. Those who are not ready to meet You. And those that are, God, encourage us to let our light shine. Leave this place today shining, lighting up our world. In Jesus' name we give glory, Lord, and thank You, because You're worthy. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to go back to the text as we go. There are five reasons and five distinct elements in this text the Lord showed me this week that I want to share with you. Why we ought to light up our world. Why we don't need to hide our light under a bushel. Why we ought to make a difference while we can. Why that we ought to love and serve God again. And the reason, of course, is found in verse 1 through 5, number 1. The first reason is because when Jesus came the first time, He came as a lowly lamb. But when He comes again, He's not coming as a lowly lamb. Oh no, He's going to come not as a lamb, but oh brother and sister, I want to tell you, He's going to come not as a lamb, but as a roaring lion. Well, the first time when Jesus came, it was John the Baptist that introduced him. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was not only John, but Jesus spoke of sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man, watch this, pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that a good word for today? That we're kept by the double grip of God. And therefore, no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. The devil included. I don't know about you if you're saved today, but I hope you are. How many know that you're saved? Let me see your hand. How many are secure in your salvation? How many are not only saved, but you're secure? Let me see your hand. That means how many know that if you died, you're going to heaven, because on the basis of the Word of God, not only you're saved and secure, but thirdly, how many are serving God? Oh, yes, that makes a difference. When he came the first time, he came as a lowly lamb. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you following the Lord? I shared with y'all some time ago when I went to Colossae, modern-day Turkey, when we were visiting the seven churches, Ephesus and so forth, all the seven churches found in Revelation 2 and 3. And we were standing there in Laodicea, and a shepherd, I've showed you the pictures, how he came and joined us. I could see over the hill there were some sheep grazing in the pasture just beyond where we were standing. And the sheep were in the pasture again, just nibbling on the grass. And I said to the shepherd, I said, watch this. I thought I could call the sheep, and all of a sudden I went, baa, baa, wondering if the sheep would listen to me. And the sheep turned and looked at me, and I don't know what they thought, but they probably might have thought, who is this stupid American trying to call us to get us to follow him? But I'll say this, the shepherd, all he did was make a sound, and down came the sheep off of the hill following the shepherd. They knew the shepherd's voice. Oh, listen, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And Isaiah picks up his pen, and Isaiah says this. He says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. But with the stripes you're healed. I love verse 6 of Isaiah 53. Isaiah said, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, do you know what verse 7 says of Isaiah 53? 700 years prior to the birth of our Lord, Isaiah said this, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He's referring to the Lord Jesus, led as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and yet he opened not his mouth. First time he came as a lowly lamb. And by the way, I love what David penned. This ought to be a blessing to you today. How many want a blessing today? In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sit with me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sit with me. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Sit with me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I can't hear you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a precious chapter to me, namely verse 4. And if you've ever sat at a bedside of a loved one that was dying, as I did this week, just less than 48 hours ago, as I sat in Marie Luttrell's bedside, I shared with her, yea, the walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I began to share with her, beneath us are green pastures, with us are our Lord, around us are our enemies, but before us is a table Following us is surely goodness and mercy, and beyond this is the house of the Lord forever. There's perfect satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. There's perfect direction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's perfect restoration. He restores my soul. I got a feeling some of you have been stressed out a little bit about Christmas time. Can I get an amen? You know you've been stressed. You know you've been trying to get the right gift. You know you've been trying to please everybody, and you're still not over it yet, and you're just wanting the blessings of God. But God said he restores our soul. And some of you today need restoration in your heart to leave out of here today lighting up your world. Then he said, ye though walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not only is there perfect restoration and perfect direction and perfect satisfaction, but in Psalm 23 there is perfect preparation. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Perfect protection. Yes, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And then finally, perfect celebration. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When he comes the first time, he came as a lowly lamb. But I've got news for you. When he comes again, and you can see that, by the way, in verse 1 of chapter 22 of Revelation. He showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a lowly lamb. Oh no, Revelation 4 and 5 says he'll be the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He will be the King of glory, as depicted in the book of the New Testament. Matthew, he's the King of the Jews. Mark, he's the servant of the Lord. Luke, he's the Son of Man. But in John, he's the Son of God. Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jude, he's our advocate. But over there in 1 Corinthians, he's our sanctification. In 2 Corinthians, our sufficiency. Over there in Romans, he's the believer's righteousness. Oh, yes. Oh, Philippians, he's the Christian's joy. Did I tell you about 1 Thessalonians? He's the believer's comfort. And did I tell you about Titus? He's the blessed hope. James, the giver of wisdom. All the New Testament books, he's everything plus some. Hey, look, when he comes again, not as a lowly lamb, but as a roaring lion. Did you hear about the lion being the king of the beast that went through the forest and the jungles? And the lion said to a rabbit, pounding on his chest, who is the king of the jungle? The rabbit said, you are, Mr. Lion. You are. And the lion found a squirrel. Who is the king of the jungle, Mr. Squirrel? You are, O lion. You are the king of the jungle. The lion found a fox and said, who is the king of the jungle? You are, Mr. Lion. The lion went over and found a bull elephant, great big bull elephant. And who is the king of the jungle? The elephant just looked at him. Who, I say, is the king of the jungle? The elephant just looked at him. I said to you, elephant, who is the king of the jungle? The elephant grabbed him with his trunk, picked him up, threw him on the ground, and threw him up against the tree. And when the lion gained his composure and brushed himself off, he said, man, you didn't have to get so mad just because you didn't know the answer. When Jesus comes again, he's coming as a roaring lion. Oh, yes, he is. But there's another reason I find in this text that ought to get us to shine the light. You are the light of the world. Oh, yes. And the next reason is, not only did the Lord Jesus come as a lowly lamb, the first coming in a roaring lion, the second coming, but secondly, first time he came as a great physician. And when he comes again, he'll come as the perfect healer, the great physician. Where do I find that? If you look at verse 2, you'll find out John said this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. In the midst of the street on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. 12 manner of fruits. You see this tree of life? Some speculate this to be the same. And one, look at the fruit that is bearing on either side of the river. I don't know about you, but can you imagine 12 manner of fruits yielding her fruit in every month? Wow, you mean there's going to be fruit? Why in the world is there going to be fruit on that tree? I know you're thinking that, and it could be, and I personally lean this way. You recall that those that are saved during the tribulation, and the Jews and even Gentiles, the tribulation saints, will have to go into the millennial, and yet they'll not be raptured up. They will not have a glorified body, and thus they'll have to live something forever. There'll not be a time when they'll be raptured. Rather, they'll go through this 1,000-year reign as described in Isaiah 65, as described in Isaiah 6, chapter 11, as described in Revelation chapter 20, and thus they'll need to live forever. Well, how in the world are they going to live forever? Some say, oh, God provides. But I want you to notice something else concerning this great physician. In the same text, the tree of life shall bear 12 manner of fruits. Now, I know you probably hadn't read this in a while, and that's why today, Christmas Day, this is going to be a blessing to you. You don't have an opportunity to study this in detail, but the first Christmas could very well be the last Christmas, and Jesus, when he came the first time, is not going to be the same as when he comes again. And therefore, we need to know, what is in the future? What can we anticipate? Why should I let my light shine? John says, in this river of life, this tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruits, each fruit bearing the fruit every month. Imagine, every month. But wait a minute, did you miss the last part of that? I hope you didn't miss the last part. The leaves of the tree are for what? The leaves of the tree are for what? Healing of nations. The word healing again is the word therapeutic, where we get our English word. Therapeuo is the original word, which means health, healing. It can have a reference to serving and ministering. But I noticed this, just a note, a side note. The word nations there is the word goy, which has reference to Gentiles. You say, but Pastor, will there be any need for healing in heaven? Absolutely not, because there'll be no more sin and no more curse and no more pain and no more death, according to Revelation 21 and 4. And yet God said this tree will have these leaves for the healing of nations. Interesting. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a great physician. Really? What do you mean? Well, there's a man just broken down at Life's Highway. You remember who he was? He was in a bad shape. Have you ever been broken down on Life's Highway? I've been broken down on Life's Highway. This man was broken down, and he needed help, and he looked like he was desperate, and Jesus passed by. I'm telling you, he's passing by you right now. And he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus recognized the man, and he said, your faith has made you whole. Not only did he give him physical sight, but he gave him spiritual sight as well. Who was that man? Where was that found? In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The man's name? Blind Bartimaeus, the great physician. I love the account in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Number 5, there's a woman who has spent all of her money. Doctors couldn't cure her. She had an issue of blood for how long? 12 long years. And she, you know, she was depressed. You know she was down. You know she felt discouraged. But oh, she said, if I could just yet but touch. If I could just yet but touch. If I could just, I just want to touch Jesus. I just want to touch the hem of his. I know I could be whole. And there she is. And she makes her way through the crowd as Jesus passes by. And out comes virtue. You and that woman is healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? He said, woman, your faith has made you whole. I'm talking about the great physician.